So let me talk a little bit about Serving Your Neighbors. So we've been around since 1999, then incorporated as a nonprofit public charity in 2008 alongside the Christian Chamber so that we could support the work of that. But in the background, we've been raising up leaders and building bridges to better our community. And currently, we moved from a functioning board of one time a year, just an annual meeting, to 12 months now, engaging with different leaders to kind of restructure the organization. Now we have Victor Arasaz representing our Hispanic community, myself, Dr. Bruce Cook, who's one of our partners with Kingdom Congressional International Alliance, Rod Friesen and Stuart Funke are locally founders, John Lee, who's also representing Transformational Finance and running for office, in the Clackamas area. So kudos to John for stepping out there. Lynn Hare, who's one of our intercessors and great friends. Ted Hillison, who's helping out with operations. Gary Salberg, who's in the Sisters area helping out with legal. Randy Sanford, who was also representing Biblical Entrepreneurship. And then Julie Size, Transformational Leadership. Dan Terry with an Identity Project. And Bob Tice, who's come on as our comptroller. And then George Ledoux is our honorary chair. So that's our structure and organization behind us. We serve leaders and organizations to increase their kingdom impact by connecting them via social media, emails, networking events, partnering events, and you hear a lot about those all the time, places that you can plug in, and then equipping them with different training partners that we have. We'll talk about those a little bit later, and now the facilitated marketplace huddles, which is more peer-to-peer that we'll talk about today, and then engaging you in prayer and service, the business community, and the educational and government community. How many had a chance to go to the Good Friday breakfast this past Friday? We had a special leaders meeting with some key leaders in downtown Portland that Wednesday with the YMCA. Powerful time of just discussing about racial reconciliation with our guest speaker, Lana Simmons. Her grandfather was shot in the church shooting back in 2015. And that's the kind of stuff that we engage with behind the scenes. There's lots of activities that are taking place that you never hear about, but hopefully you can be a part of as we continue to grow together. Also, the Marketplace Coalition, for the last two decades, we've been housing the database of the region with different churches, ministries, businesses, and individuals. Anytime large groups like the Plow Association or Focus on the Family or Promise Keepers would come to town, we'd share that list out, and then they would give us the changes and updates. But that particular database is now called the Marketplace Coalition, and we chose that title and that term, Marketplace, because a market is an open area. It's in the commercial world, it's in the business. Business touches all the spheres of influence as well as all the areas of need. And it's any sphere that's considered a place where ideas, thoughts, and creations compete for recognition. That's what the marketplace is about. We chose the term coalition because it means an alliance of people coming together into one body, mass fusion, you know, basically working together as a collaborative community. So how we do that? We connect you in different peer huddles that meet two times a month over a 12 to 36 time. We also introduce you to the affiliate trainings that we have, and that's like what I mentioned earlier, Identity Project, Biblical Entrepreneurship, Transformational Leadership, and Transformational Finance is coming on this spring. And then we equip you by different monthly events, quarterly forums, annual summits, and then also engage you in those small groups and looking at solving community issues. And I'd love to have more people that are in different spheres that can participate in that. So how is this particular work different than the Chamber? Well, we're launching the Chamber in something that we always wanted to do, and that is small groups, and then equipping you, and then having that particular, once you've got a group functioning and really pushing each other to excellence, then you can turn to community issues that are on your heart as a group that you can impact together, and huddles could work with other huddles to do that as well. It's different in the equip stage because of the fifth degree format that Randy Kennison is going to unpack a little bit for you and how he developed that. And then it's also different in the engaging part because it's one-on-one relationships with strategic leaders. What sends value to that? We bring this internal focus of iron sharpening iron and the external focus of connecting with influencers, personal accountability, biblical application, and an online community. The ultimate goal is to have an app for that. Being able to connect you with other key leaders that you're not connected to in the space that you're working in. So huddle participation for businesses is $295 a month, $195 for nonprofits, and that includes the monthly luncheons, the quarterly forums, annual summits, and any other special events that we have. And then you have affiliate partnerships that we can participate in. What are the 7 key benefits to being in a huddle for business? And that's the area where we're starting. I could see huddles for government, huddles for education, all kinds of other huddles that could be developed. But we're going to start with the business model first. And so the core of that is a chance to be on a team of professionals who care about your success. The next element is a motivation to go even farther because of accountability. The third element is an opportunity to observe a fresh perspective on business and life. The fourth is an inspiration to seek and gather deeper wisdom from lifelong learners, those who are in your huddle. The fifth is a cultivation of new strategies, ideas, and ability to recognize blind spots, and we all have those and need somebody to help us with those. The sixth is a promotion of key resources and networking relationships and innovations. All kinds of amazing stuff can come out of that. And then the ability to enhance your personal vision, creativity, and obtain results. Each huddle is facilitated by a paid facilitator who's a seasoned certified professional coach, and they are assigned to each huddle for a 12-month commitment. A cohort of 5 diverse professionals are meeting 3 times, once for the luncheon, then within 48 hours as on like a Zoom or a conference line, and then 2 weeks later in another huddle where you actually all get together. You can do the first huddle together. It's just based upon your schedules and where you're at. But it's focused on personal and professional growth. It is faith-based, worldwide view for our business and life success. It's cost-effective huddles that offer additional resources to assist you in innovation and in development, and then a specific game plan that will set out individuals up for ongoing business and life success. So I'm going to have Randy come up and talk more about what he's been unpacking as far as what he designed. And let's welcome Randy Kinnison with Genesis Mediation.
Well, we're going to talk more about some of the detail stuff today. So the next book I'm writing is called Living the Intentional Life, and it's based off probably about 30 years of teaching time management and how I invented the Daily Accountable Scoreboard to be part of Fifth Degree. So Annie Dillard says, how we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives. And C.S. Lewis said, the future is something which everyone reaches at the rate of 60 minutes an hour, whatever he does, whatever he is. So how many hours do we have every week? 168, that's somebody good with math. Okay, do you have a plan every week of what you're going to do with those 168 hours, to be intentional about those 168 hours? So that's, to me, the real key. So we're going to talk a little bit about what that looks like. So objectives in the short time I have with you are these three. I want you to understand what the scoreboard is and how it integrates with the huddles. I want you to introduce the concepts of the scoreboard. And I want to challenge you and invite you to live your life on purpose. Okay, so why the scoreboard? What was that about? Well, you probably all have goals. I'm guessing every person in here has goals. You probably have a to-do list. Most people do not connect their to-do list with their personal mission statement, their annual goals, both professional and business. So what my focus has been for much of my life is to make sure my personal mission statement and my goals show up in my daily life. So in other words, if you look at my checkbook and if you look at my daily calendar, you should see evidence of my personal mission statement and my goals. And if you don't see that in daily behavior, then there's a huge disconnect and I'm probably not living the life I said I'm going to try to live. So how does the scoreboard system work? Well, here's the focus that I have been thinking an awful lot about since I stepped out from traditional ministry 13 years ago and started doing what I'm doing. So I believe you need to discover what you're about and what your God-given dream is. And that's what almost everyone in this room probably understands or is living already, which is cool. But when I talk to people, a lot of people don't know what their strengths are. They maybe have done a personality assessment like CVI or Myers-Briggs or DISC or something. They may have somewhat of a handle on who they are and how God has made them. They may or may not understand their conflict style and how they go about resolving conflict. They may or may not know their spiritual gift or gifting. They might know their passion, but when you ask them about their God-given dream, they might just give you, oh, I had one of those, you know, years ago, right? So let me give you a quick example. So I've always had a personal mission statement. I would say, when I look at this list, I would say, as a traditional pastor, I was living, or I was running on 6 out of my 8 cylinders that God created for me. I would give myself probably a B plus as a pastor. I was, depending on how you want to craft success, you know, I saw people come to Christ, we built buildings, the church grew, all those kinds of things. But at the end of the day, I felt more like I was CEO of my church and not really living the life that I committed my life for Christ to. So I said, okay, what am I going to do and change about that? And that's when I resigned and decided to launch House Churches and launched Genesis Mediation, and now have launched other companies and realized that I'm actually a serial entrepreneur and enjoy that life tremendously. And what I found is I'm doing more ministry today than I ever did as a pastor. So that's what I'm excited about, is helping this work within your faith and how to maximize each and every one of you. So how does this system actually work? So it's going to cascade from your personal mission statement to daily behavior. So you need to understand what your personal mission statement is, your dream and preferred future picture, your five-year goals, your annual goals, and your quarterly goals, and then to your daily goals. How many of you know your personal mission statement? You've all crafted that. Okay, somebody share theirs. Quick example. Rick, go.
It's spread God's love throughout the world.
Thanks, Rick. Someone else. Who else had their hand up? Carl, what's your personal mission statement?
I help people find their purpose. I am a person who's enthusiastic, passionate, and determined to help people achieve. My gifts are to help grow communities and people who want to help people. My purpose is to be a life coach, professional, helping the world be a better world.
Okay, cool. If I heard that, then I have to look at Carl's checkbook and his calendar to see if he's actually doing it, right? And if I look at those two things, it should show up, right? I'm pretty sure it'll show up for Carl. So here's why this is a problem. 80% of the population doesn't have goals. 16% of them think about them but don't write them down. 3% will write them down but not look at them again. And only 1% look at their goals regularly and use them daily. They're the highest achievers in the world. Millionaires will look at their goals every day. Billionaires look at their goals more than once a day. So just a thought. So how many times have you had your goals for the day, you know, your to-do list for the day, and you got to the end of the day and you go, oh, I didn't look at my list today. And you go and you think about, oh, these are the things I missed, right? So the key is to think about, how can I remind myself to make sure my list is in front of me and to make sure I can achieve not only the things on your list, but you've rank ordered the list and you make sure you're dealing with the most critical and important things, not the most urgent things. So here's, to me, the real secret sauce is the weekly planning, is most people don't have a connection from their annual goals. They might have quarterly goals, but their quarterly goals usually get disconnected at the weekly planning to get into daily activity. That's, to me, where most people find the disconnect. So when I think about an annual goal, I think you should only have 3 to 5 annual goals. I think you need to keep it simple. I think if you've got 12 annual goals, it's too much. I don't think you're going to hit 12 annual goals. I think if you have 3 to 5, you'll probably hit them. So for me, my goals for this year is publish the Decision Tree of Aging. I just got it. Okay. So goal number one is checked off. That's actually the more simple goal. The goal that's the bigger goal coming down the path for the end of this year is a subscription-based website that'll be attached to it that will help people 24/7. So when you're at 3 o'clock in the morning at the hospital with a loved one and you don't know what to do, and you need to find your HIPAA and you need to find your power of attorney and your advanced medical directive, you can pull it up on your smartphone, as well as call somebody who will be on call 24/7, a professional who's trained in mediation, who's trained in coaching, and they're going to help you deal with the chaos in the emergency room lobby with your family that's erupting. Or are they going to help you interface with the medical professional who's telling you to do things you really don't want to do because your loved one said they didn't want that to happen? But now you're having to challenge a doctor because they want to do something and you know your loved one said they didn't want that. So who do you call? So that's what I'm more excited about, actually. Next one is begin succession planning. I'm 61 years old. I'm probably not going to live forever. And it's a time for me to start really thinking about succession planning. So those are really key in my mind this year. By the end of this year, I want key personnel in place that I'm going to do my next one, which is going to mentor them. So this focus is called M&M. People love my M&Ms in my office. They eat them all the time. So that's what I'm about this year. M&M is mentor and marketing. And then I do have financials and people touch goals. So what I really focus on is not so much the money. I find if you focus on the right things, the money will come. I do have financial goals, obviously. But the biggest goal is how many people will I touch? So this year, my goal is can I touch 25,000 people that they'll have a more peaceful life because Randy Kinnison walks planet Earth. Okay? So some of that will come through Genesis Mediation, the training I do, the people I touch through that, through the nonprofits. So I track the direct people I have contact with as well as what I call the ripple effect. So I've worked with some larger organizations, some larger ministries, and my DBA that's called Bridge Builders Christian Resolutions. And so I track the people that I have direct responsibility with, but I also track that ripple effect. So in other words, just finishing with the church, I've had direct contact with about 50 people, but the ripple effect is over 1,000. Okay. Worked with a private school. So the personal contact was with probably about 20 people. The ripple effect was probably closer to probably a couple thousand. So that's what I get jazzed about. That's what gets me up in the morning, is how many people can I help have a more peaceful life because God put that in my heart. Okay. We're going to do a quick little exercise right now. So if you don't have this any kind of template like this, I'm going to give you a quick little exercise to see what this would look like. So this is real simple, obviously, a week. And then AM is morning, afternoon, and PM. Okay. So in other words, what would your normal week look like? Everyone says, Randy, I never have a normal week. I don't either. But I do like to have a template of how I want to start my week and how I want to be intentional about how I do those 168 hours. Okay? So what I want you to think about is, if you already know this and you can quickly fill it out, is like, what does your normal week, what would you like your normal week to look like? How much time would you spend with your spouse or kids? How much time would you spend in your devotional life? How much time would you spend in projects? How much time would you spend marketing? How much time would you spend with clients, if you have clients? How much time do you spend working on your business? And how much do you time spend working in your business? Okay, so let me give you just a quick look at my life. So I talk about home runs, and a home run is the one thing that you want to accomplish that week as well as that day. So I look at three at-bats every day. I try to get up at 5 o'clock. My first at-bat is writing. If I don't do my writing first, it usually won't happen. So I know I'll do my devotions. I know I will. I know I won't blow them off. But what I used to do is have my devotions first, and I would sometimes love lingering with the Lord, which is not a bad thing to do at all. But then I would not ever get to my writing. So what I found is if I did my writing first, I got it done, and then I could still do my devotions. And if I wanted to linger, I would know that something else could come off my plate, but that was probably okay. So what my mornings look like is a little bit like this. First at bat is writing, 90 minutes. Next is spiritual. I have my devotions. I get my exercise in. I do my, it's when I get my shower and breakfast in as well. Next at bat is projects. Those are 90-minute periods. So that's when I push forward on things like right now I'm putting divorce training online. I put my 40-hour basic training online. I'm putting a lot of my training online right now on an online platform. So I use this time to do that kind of work, my project work, that I need concentrated time. And by the way, I do this at home. For me, that's a good place to be. For you with kids, it may not be a good place to be. But you need to find some place where you can concentrate and not have interruptions, right? Then my third at bat, because you saw where I was going to focus on marketing this year. So my third at bat is what I did is I changed my schedule, and now I have a third at bat. I have a 90-minute segment every day that I spend on marketing. Okay? So if I told you that and it didn't show up in my calendar, I'd be the wrong guy to be up here talking to you right now, right? So then the rest of my day is clients and talking to people at lunch and all kinds of other things. When do I normally get to the office, James? You know? You're not there all the time, but how many times am I there early? Not very often, am I? That's because I'm doing this at home. Because once I get to the office, I'm working in my business, not on my business. So I do all this from home. I usually get to the office around lunchtime, maybe a little bit earlier. And now I don't care really how many interruptions I have, because I'm there to be with my clients, with my staff, and in my business. Now, I know your day may need to look different than that. I'm just telling you, this is how, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, how I structure my day to make sure I keep growing and to make sure my companies keep growing. Okay, so how are you doing filling that out? If you're in a huddle group, this will be one of the exercises you'll do. Okay, the next piece is your five daily disciplines. So concept was fifth degree, was you need to be around five people who will influence you. Jim Rohn says, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So pick out five quality people that you can spend time with. That's the whole idea of the huddle group. Then do five daily disciplines. So for me, it's spiritual, health, reading, writing, and mentoring. So those are the things that need to show up every day on my scoreboard, right? And then here's the thing I want you to be thinking about. When creating your weekly schedule that I handed out to you, you include think time. That's when you're going to work on your business, not in it, and that's when you're going to come up with some of your best ideas. Sunday morning, since I do house churches and they meet Sunday nights, Sunday morning is my worship time with my Lord and my think time. Okay? And So I incorporated some of David Allen's concepts. So one of them was a someday folder. So that's when I come up with crazy ideas about my next business or my next book or my next project or whatever it is. And I'll write it down. I'll write some notes down it. I'll put it in my someday folder. It's electronic now. And when I have my think time, I'll pull that folder back out and look at some of those ideas and, oh, I don't know what I was thinking. That one's not going to work at all. So I shelve that one. And that one, oh, this one could be good. And that's how I start beginning outlining a new book during my think time. Okay? So that's why I have 10 books lined up with most of them outlined right now. It's because of think time. So what would be the five things if you did every day that would push you forward, make you a better person, make you a better entrepreneur, make you a better dad, mom, son? What would those things look like? So what gets measured gets done. So that's what the whole idea of the scoreboard looks like. So let's include your daily disciplines and your home run. You'll review it at the end of each day. You'll just simply ask, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? What did I learn? What might I need to change? That takes me about 5, maybe 10 minutes. And then add up your score. And then here's the kicker for the huddle group. You share your daily scoreboard with those in the huddle. You have monthly or weekly kicks and kudos. So the purpose of this is accountability and feedback. That's my other goal, is to create this into an app, because I know it'll be so much easier to use. It's a little clunky right now in a spreadsheet form. But you notice on the scoreboard are the five disciplines. I put roles on there because the roles are, for me, it's like I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm a son, decided to move my mom to another adult foster home because she ran out of money. And I had to work through this whole thing of I didn't want to put her on Medicaid. So, but it's the third time in 3 years I've had to move my mom. Hasn't been a lot of fun. She cries and, you know, tells me what a bad son I am when I leave. And then she does some not so good things with the new caregiver that night. So then I'm a husband, right? And I need to make sure I have time with my wife. I'm a dad. I always had daddy dates with my kids when they're growing up. Guess what? Now that they're adults, they still like daddy dates with their dad. So we still have daddy dates. Here's what I find is if you don't put those on your sheet, like for me anyway, if I don't write it down and put it in my calendar, I'm not going to automatically just have a daddy date with my kid. I have to program it. I have to put it in. Now, you might be wired different than I am, and it just all happens naturally for you. But I know if I don't create space, intentional space in my life for certain things and people, I will blow by it and allow other things to take over that time. So this is what you share. The other piece that's on this sheet that I gave you is the weekly evaluation. So what am I measuring? So I'm going to measure those things from the things every week. And this is what it's going to look like. So on this scoreboard, it's going to be how did I do with my five disciplines? I want to be thinking about that. I want to think about how many home runs I did. And then there are five things, and this comes from Vern Hardish and the Rockefeller Principles Habits. And so what are your SMART numbers? What would be five things that you are monitoring every week that you want to keep your pulse on? For me, it's how many people I've touched, what my billable hours. I'm a lot like a legal firm, so I'm tracking billable hours. I want to know which mediator and what area have those billable hours come from. I'm looking at clients. I want to know what new clients, where they came from, which also drives marketing, and then I want to know what our satisfaction is, and then how did we get our clients, what's been working, whether it's social media or our word of mouth system or whatever marketing tactics we're using. I want to be tracking that, and then here's the key, gospel connections. How many people did I touch for Jesus this week? You know, did I listen to somebody? Did I had a chance to share testimony? Did somebody maybe come to Christ? What difference did I make by doing business as a Christian this week? Okay, I like tracking that because, you know what, it keeps it front of mind for me. Because when I have to fill that out every week, it reminds me, you know, I really sucked this last week, Randy. You need to step up your game next week, right? So it's like what gets measured gets done, okay? Living an intentional life. Will Rogers said, half our life is spent trying to find something to do with the time we have rushed through life trying to save. And Moses said, teach us to number our days aright that we might find a heart of, gain a heart of wisdom. Thank you.
Thank you, Randy. All right, well, I'm going to ask Carl to come up and introduce our certified coaches that will be helping us do the huddle groups. So let's welcome Carl.
All right, thank you. All right, I'm really excited about this opportunity. You know, when I look at this opportunity, I go to Proverbs. Now, Solomon, he was an interesting dude. I mean, all these concubines and going to different countries and adapting different gods. And of course, he was punished for all that. Okay, but he gave us a lot of good tools. And one of the pieces that he gave us, he said, walk with wise men and women, and you shall be like them. You shall be wise. And I took that to heart a lot of years ago, and I said, yeah, I want to surround myself with really solid people, good men. And I got to tell you, when I was saved at 13, but during my early 20s, I surrounded myself with men from the church that I was going to who were leaders in the church, and I spent time with them. I played softball. I went to the gym with them. I walked. You know, the Bible talks about our spiritual life is actually a walk. And so I surrounded myself with these men, and boy, did they deliver great things into my heart and my mind as a young guy. Led me to Bible school, actually led me to Marine Corps. I spent 3 years in the Marine Corps, and that was because I admired a man who was once a Marine and the things that he accomplished. And then I went on to Bible school, and then went on to become a child and family therapist. But I did these things because there were people in my life that walked with me, and I admired these people. They were role models for me. I surrounded myself. And so this huddle is an opportunity to be around some great people that will walk with you and will bestow one of the greatest things you can have on this planet, and that's wisdom, to help you and everyone else live better, because there's a ripple effect from this wisdom. The people around you now, they get saturated with your wisdom. So this is a great life, people. It just is. I love living, you know? I mean, I'm excited about going to heaven, but while I'm here on earth, I want to live well. So what Randy gave us is just powerful stuff. Now, when Randy asked me about my mission statement, my purpose statement, I know my purpose statement because in our coach certification program, we teach all our coaches to leave the first foundations class with their purpose statement in mind. And it starts with, what do I love? Who am I? What do I possess? And then, what is my purpose? My purpose is to. So we all have that. So you'll see some of the members around here, they've gone through our course. They have their purpose statement. So we encourage living on purpose, being purposeful, because that's the way to success. And so these huddle groups are going to help you get on track with your purpose. So I'm excited about this, because this is really discipleship. It's what this is all about. Teaching people to go out there and fulfill this great commission is getting people on a positive course of discipleship, and we're disciplers. And so now, I've been fortunate enough to have five people involved in this small community of huddles who are facilitators, who are going to facilitate these huddles. And these are great individuals. Now, I've been really blessed. I've been an entrepreneur for 20 years. The last 15 years, I started the first Oregon coach training school, actually in the Pacific Northwest. We've graduated about 2,000 students. So we have five of these students. Out of the 2,000, we have five of these students who are going to be your facilitators. And they're going to rock your world. They're going to impact your life. They're going to bring wisdom to every conversation. And they're going to give a lot of care and concern, a lot of love to you. And they're going to be a champion for your success. So that's key. So we're going to go ahead and introduce each person. Yeah, so Joel's up. Oh, Joe, you've gotten a tan, dude. Where, yeah. You've been out in the sun? Okay, this is Joel Day. Joel, you want to talk about yourself for a moment?
So I got involved with coaching many, many years ago. When I was 21, I started in graphic design at Nike. And I grew in my career there and was advanced. And they put me through a program, what they called Coach's Clinic, to learn how to coach my direct reports rather than a top-down management style. And so I did that. I worked for Nike for 17 years, and in 2008, during the recession, my whole team and several other teams were cut. And so I needed to reinvent myself, and so coaching seemed like what I was most passionate about, because I really enjoyed coming alongside my direct reports and helping them accomplish their goals and seeing them come to fruition. My mission statement, I actually started my own coaching practice with the mission to provide support for others to increase their capacity for action. I really believe that helping people become their best selves and to flourish in their life. The Greek word is zao, to really experience that zao life. I heard my pastor say that this weekend, and that really resonated with me and my purpose. So and then I went through Carl's program a number of years ago, and now I'm the business administrator there at New Vibe Training and helping keep everything coordinated and all the students going through. And so that's a little bit about me.
All right, Joel. So, you know, we're looking for five individuals that are going to be with Joel in this huddle for 1 year. And so for that 1 year, you get the dinner, you get two huddles within that month, but you also get a lot of information, books to read, a lot of great topics that will help you in your business, but also outside your business. So, all right, Julie, let's have a nice hand for Julie.
Hi, everybody. I'm so pleased to be here. This is an exciting journey that we get to start to partake in together. So I hope you consider doing it. A little bit about me. My heart is to help individuals and organizations grow. The name of my business is Exponential Functions. It has nothing to do with math, and it has everything to do with growing people and organizations. And over the last several years, the Christian Chamber and the Marketplace Coalition, now the Marketplace Coalition, and the partnerships that have been created and the education opportunities that have been presented have really shaped me and helped me grow into the woman that I am today. I came to know the Lord early on, 13 years old. My sister came home with the four spiritual laws, read them to me. I said, that sounds like a great idea. So I prayed. I asked my girlfriend 3 days later if she noticed any changes in me. And she said, yeah, you've been crankier. So, you know, that was my start. Went off to college, met my husband there, got a degree in recreation administration, and spent many years running an arts department of a city in California. In the meantime, my husband became a pastor, and we were associate pastors at some large churches in California, and then moved up here for a pastoral change. And I left my career to focus on my children and grow up a little bit in the Lord. And eventually he released me back into the workplace and spent many years doing event management for local nonprofits and consulting for a company that did consulting for a lot of other nonprofits. About 7 or 8 years ago, I found myself in a transition again and got introduced to transformational leadership. And it changed my life. I mean, what I had learned there, it resonated with me because I really believe that the Christian life should work. And after our 20 or so years in public ministry, there was, sadly, a lot of things that weren't working. And the gospel of the good news wasn't translating into how people showed up every day in their lives. And that led me on a journey to really discover my purpose at a greater level and get connected in a way that that has allowed me to flourish and grow. So I'm a late in life entrepreneur, I call. I'm Randy's age. And life is good, right? And so my husband and I have several businesses. We have a property management company. I have the Northwest affiliate for transformational leadership. And I'm working to develop other leaders using the transformational leadership curriculum. I host classes here on McAdam. Went through Carl's program a few years back and another coaching program. So I'm using that in my business, and I am thrilled to have the opportunity to lead a huddle group here. I love what Randy was talking about the measurements. You know, I have a pretty organized life, but that's going to take it on steroids. So I can't wait to see what we accomplish together. So thank you, Carl, for this opportunity, and look forward to working with my five people.
All right. Julie is an amazing lady. She is probably one of the top five most amazing, impactful women that I have met. She really is. I mean, she's a dynamo, guys and gals. okay? And I can't believe that she's as young as Randy. I mean, these guys are really young people, and they have a mighty impact in people's lives. Next presenter here, George, come on up, bud. Love this guy. Give George a great hand.
Thanks, Carl. Just pleased to be here with all of you. I've been coaching since 1973. So I give you a little bit of idea how long I've been coaching. But at the time, I was coaching freshmen in high school. And that's a real trip. I just completed my 42nd year of athletic coaching with a football team that I've coached the last 12 years and thoroughly enjoyed it. So I'm a professional coach. I get paid. And for me, to get paid, PAID, is professional and individual development. And I'm looking forward to working with you and forming a team in which your professional and individual development can flourish, as Joel referred to. My mission statement was to inspire, and it still is, students, athletes, coaches, teachers, administrators, parents, and community members to be the best people of character that they can be. For me, character speaks to your heart. And I know this, that when I'm working with a team that has great character, great heart, we are going to have a fantastic season regardless of the final score. Now, I love score. I love Vince Lombardi. Vince Lombardi had a thing called What Does It Take to Be Number One? And it's on my wall in my office, and I read it frequently. But I also like, and we just finished the NC2A basketball men's national championships, the greatest coach in basketball ever was a gentleman named John Wooden. And he took it to a little different level, to be the best that you can be. It comes from self-satisfaction and knowing that you did your best to become the best that you're capable of becoming. And to that, I would say, become the best person of character that you're capable of becoming, and then give that away into your community. Could you imagine a community that was totally developed? What would it look like to bring this into your community and it was totally developed? This has been a nonprofit I've worked with for the last 18 years. In fact, we're coming up on our anniversary here this month. 18 years ago, we started it in the year 2000. So I know we're on to something. You guys participate, become part of our team. I'd love to coach any and all of you. I know a lot about huddles, having coached football, and we can get a lot done in the huddle format. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, George. So, can you imagine five people with George? Wow. What a breakthrough there's going to be for George and the people in this huddle. So, Lisa's coming up. Lisa, come on up, and let's have a nice hand for Lisa.
Thank you. It's nice to see you all here today. Well, I graduated from Carl's coaching program about 2 years ago, and I, after a lot of prayer, and Carl helped me realize that the place where I was going to coach is in the area of grief. My company is called Alongside You Coaching, and I lost a husband to cancer after 12 years of marriage, and a son who was six, and he died of an undiagnosed bacterial infection. So I feel like I know something about grief, but having lived it, but I don't feel sorry because I have two wonderful children who are in their 20s also, and they're a huge blessing to my life. I have some business experience over 15 years. I stepped out of the workforce after my husband died because I felt that God was calling me to just be at home with my children and raise them. You cannot do that twice. That is something that you can't go back and do, and I knew that. So, but I've worked at Educational Testing Service. I have a law degree. Somewhere in there I went and did that, and I worked at the Oregon State Bar for many years. I have a lot of management experience, and just general running a business. My husband and I had a business together too. So I feel well versed in that. Maybe not as experienced as some of you, but I know it. And I also have facilitated women in a women's Bible study for over a decade and also done teaching in that Bible study. So I love facilitating groups. I'm looking really forward to getting to know my huddle. And let's see, one more thing. I think three words that describe my core values: integrity, gratitude, and love. And my mission statement, I feel like I'm an encourager. That's a strength of mine. My mission statement is to glorify God in all that I do and to coach myself and those around me to find and live their best lives. Life.
That was incredible. Thank you. So our goal, we have five, you heard the facilitators, right? Five facilitators, five people. And we're looking for 25 people to be a part of this launch that's coming up in June. 25 people. So if you've got friends, you have associates, you have people in your business, if you're a manager, supervisor, and if you're looking for really empowering growth from experts in this area, this is the place to be. So here's James.
So, Father God, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy today, and I just thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in us and around us and through us for your kingdom and glory. And, Lord, we just lay these things before you. We thank you for the plan of what you're doing in our lives and how we can engage and how we can do things with excellence so that those around us, like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were 10 times better, and they were able to come alongside Nebuchadnezzar and be the wise counsel that you needed them to be. We're asking you to raise up leaders to do the same here in our region. And we promise to give you all the glory and all the honor for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks for coming.